You glad you in church tonight? Before we get started, does anybody here want to just thank the Lord for something or brag on him? But we can't brag in ourselves. You know, we need to have our hearts for our children, because if we don't do all we can for our children, try to get them in church, and the ones that's not saved, get them saved. If we're not willing to do that, how can we be willing to go out and or tell someone that we don't even know about salvation? So we need to always remember that. The Lord, he's merciful to us. I mean, if it wasn't for his mercy, I do not know where I'd be at. I doubt very seriously I'd be in church. But with all that said and done, you know, we are people that do need to have the Lord in our life. And I tell you, that's one thing that I have no regretted in doing is asking the Lord to save my soul. And I'm not going to say it's a good possibility that the Lord, he probably looked at my life sometimes and said, oh, what in the world I saved you for? But, you know, we got to be mindful. The first thing I wanted on my heart the day after I got saved was my family. And I went and I talked to my stepfather. He didn't get saved that evening, but he got saved about 3 or 4 weeks later. And, you know, he won't ring here long after that to really be a blessing to his family and be a blessing to all of us. He was already a blessing to me anyhow, because, you know, like I've told y'all, and I know I've told you the story, that I lived with him for so many years there, and I didn't care anything about him. Didn't want to even talk to him hardly. But I thank the Lord that the day that I got saved, I finally went and told him after 22 years later. I went up and I told him for the first time that I loved him. And you know, it really does something to you, because with a stepfather or stepmother, you know, you don't want to look to them that for anything, for any kind of help at all, because they've just come into the family, they don't know anything about the problems and this, everything we've went through. But I'll tell you, a man that'll come in and marry into the family, and where she's had four sons from 8 months old up to 8 years, 8 year old, which I was old as I was eight. And my youngest brother was 8 months, I believe was 7, 8 months old. And then my brother next to me, he was 7. And then my next brother, he was 6 or 5. But you know, you take an individual. Now he's got to have a heart of patience to put up with four new boys and plus his own son. His own son was that, I think he was 14, I believe it was, when they got married. But you know, I do thank the Lord really every day that I had him in my life, because he taught me some things. And but that's beside the point now. He's gone on. He's in heaven, I believe with all my heart. One of these days I'm gonna be able to see him again. And he's gonna be able to say, "Donnie, come on with me." And he's gonna take me over there. He's gonna introduce me to Jesus. Because you know, when we all get to heaven, it says that we are all gonna be changed in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, we're gonna be changed. And we're going to be changed unto like the Lord Jesus Christ. The only difference is that he is going to bear some scars where we put upon his body that day. But besides that, we're not going to really know who he is. But we're going to be introduced to him. I really don't even know which way to go tonight, but you know, really, well, one thing I'm gonna start talking about, and it's over there in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 in verse 66. John chapter 6 and verse 66. We're going to see where that at that time that the disciples, I don't know if they got frustrated, I don't know what had happened to them, but they got to the point that they weren't going to follow the Lord no more. But we see right here in verse 60, we're going to be reading down to verse 68, I believe it is. 67, 68, somewhere along that. But it says, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, and he said unto them, 'Doeth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?'" It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, having not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. He spake of Judah Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. You know yourself where they was there at the supper table, and they was there eating and breaking of bread. And the Lord Jesus was telling the individuals what they wanted to know and some things. And one of the things that Jesus just come up and said and told them, says, one of you will betray me. One of you will betray me today. The one that kisses my cheek is the one that is going to betray me. And Judas Iscariot, he sold out for 30 pieces of silver. We having people today to sell out all through the country. They're selling out to the devil. They're selling out to what the devil can offer them for a little while. And the devil has got them so blinded and so mixed up, they don't understand where they're really coming from. They don't understand what the devil is really doing to them. But from time to time, many today turn back. We're seeing people today all the time turning back. We're seeing people today, they don't have no desire in coming to the Lord. They don't have no desire in coming to church. They don't have no desire in coming and being around God's people. They don't have that kind of desire. They are lost. And there are multitudes of thousands of people, probably multitudes of millions of people, that's still lost today. And they don't want to have anything at all to do with God. Why? Because the devil himself has their eyes blinded. He has put the blinders on the eyes, and they cannot see forward enough to see where and what the devil is doing and what the Lord wants to do for them. The Lord wants to help them. The Lord wants to help them in a way where they can prosper and where they can go out and have more friends and more people that will look to them day by day. But we're having too many people today that is just walking away from the church, walking away from the pews, walking away from God, walking away from the Sunday school teacher, walking away from the friends in the church. You said, well, no, they ain't walking away from your friend. Yes, they are. Yes, they are, because if they're saved and if they was in the church, then there was a friend. There was a friend under you, and there are a friend under Jesus too also. But yet, no, they will forsaken thy friends. They will forsaken thy friends, and to the point that they won't even know what hit them anymore. And they think this idea, they got this idea that if they wait, if they just wait to tomorrow. See, that's one of the devil's sayings. You can wait to tomorrow. You don't have to do anything today. You can wait to tomorrow. You can wait to Wednesday night. You come Wednesday night. And when you come Wednesday night, you get saved then. Or next Sunday, when you come to church next Sunday, you get saved then. But what they don't realize, when the devil is telling that, the devil's already got the plan. And he's already got what he's going to do to them when they come out Wednesday night. And when they come out Wednesday night, when they hear the word of God, and when the Holy Spirit speaks to them, then the devil's going to say, you got this weekend. You come back Sunday. You get saved Sunday. And he tells us just to put it off. Put it off a little while. Put it off a little while. The Spirit of God is not going to always be there to speak to our hearts. The Holy Spirit's not always going to grab a hold to our heart in a way that will turn us to Jesus. It said, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? I honestly believe today, if the Lord Jesus Christ come back to earth, right here, I say just right here in Danville, Virginia, and if he just had a table spread out to where the Christians could go in and they could break bread. The pastors could go in there and break bread with the teachers and with the deacons and everything. And then, but yet, he won't say, one of you that's here will betray me. One of you here that will betray. No, he will say, there's multitudes that are going to be here that's going to betray me tonight. They're going to betray me because they don't love me and they don't want to see me help them. They don't want to see no hope. The only way to receive hope is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to receive peace is through Him. The only way to receive the love is through Him. The only way to receive the Spirit of God is through Him. And He walks with us and He talks with us day by day. Yeah, He talks to me day by day. Some days He's not really talking. He's doing a whole lot of chastisement to me because I wouldn't do what He asked me to do. So chastisement will come to me. He will correct me. He will take me behind the old woodshed. And He would pick up one of them great long logs there. And He would beat me upside my body and everything to bring me back into line. See, that's what they was trying to do to Jesus when they took and they strapped Him to that post there. When they strapped Him to the post. And then they took the... the whip, with the cattails, with the nine cattails and everything, they tied on there, and they was whipping him. They was whipping his back and everything. And over in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it is, or Leviticus, one another, they're saying that his back looked like a field that has just been plowed. Look like the field that just has been plowed. The furrow there, it is so deep. The wounds are so deep. The scars are so deep. But yet he took the beating for me. He took the beating for you. And not only that, he took it for the devil himself. He took it for the whole wide world. That's what he done that day. He was strapped to the post to where they could whip him. And they whip right there and they snap back like you would a whip. Have you ever seen a whip where they take the whip, especially ones on TV and everything, on the Western, they would take the whip and they would have that whip out and everything, and it'd be another whip, and they'd take it, snap it just like that. They would snap it, and when they snapped it, you could hear the sound of it. But just think about Jesus now. Just think about him being there in our place when I should have been there. Yes, I should have been there. You should have been there. But why was we not there? It was because of him. It was because that he loved us so much that he was willing to go and to do all of that for me and for you. You say, well, preacher, that was way back then. That was over 2,000 years ago. Yeah, it sure was. But did you realize that 2,000 years ago, he was thinking about you and me. He was thinking about you and me. And we could have come on the scene just like that. He could have brought us forth where we'd been on the scene and we'd have been there. And they said, will you go forward? Will you go in front of Jesus? Will you go by in his place? Would you? Would I? No. I'm being honest. I wouldn't go. Why? Because I know it would be pain. I know it would hurt. People today, they're looking for some type of services, some type of religion that's easy. It's easy on the ears. It's easy on the heart. It's easy on their mind that they can just go ahead and hear it and it won't upset them. That's the problem today. We as preachers, we don't kind of step back 5 or 6 steps now because we don't want to hurt people. We don't want to embarrass nobody. I didn't want to be embarrassed either when I was at church. The Sunday that I went, I didn't want to be embarrassed. You know what? The best thing that happened to me. The best thing that happened to me is better to be embarrassed and ashamed with your own life than it is to die and go to hell. For people around us, all around us, day by day, is in the paper. Not just in the Danville paper. But it's in the paper there in Richmond. It's the paper in Martinsville, in Roanoke, and all around, and all over the country, and all over the world. We see them. We see where the obituaries and it says,
It's so sad that they was just, they just wanted to have a good time. They just wanted to have some fun. Well, I'm a Christian, and I have a good time all the time. I have fun in serving the Lord, because it hasn't showed me nowhere in God's word for me to dry up like a prune. It tells me that laughter is joy to the soul. Laughter. We can laugh, and we can have all kinds of joy within us. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ done for us. He went to Calvary. He shed on the blood. He shed his life on the cross there at Calvary. And his own father, turned his own back on his son at that Calvary. You say, well, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Don't the word of God say that they cannot look upon darkness? That the Father cannot look down on darkness, because darkness represents sin? And what happened? That day, that morning, when he was hanging down on the cross, the clouds come over. The black clouds come over, and it became dark. Darkness became. And then his father turned his back on his own son. He knew without a shadow of a doubt that his son was going to do what he'd asked him to do. And everything that happened to the last sound of the hammer and the nail, to the last sound, until the last is shovel had opened the grave, and where that stone was rolled back, and where he was put in a barred tomb. Just think about this. He's the Son of the living God. He's the one that created man. He's the one that's created the birds and the fowls of the air. He's the one that's created all this. As far as the eye can see, he created it all. Didn't man have nothing to do with none of it? God had something to do with it. But God asked man to build that. But man didn't have the sense. They did not have the knowledge to take a raw piece of wood and make a piece of furniture out of it. But the Lord Jesus knew how to make this furniture. The Lord Jesus knew exactly what he could do with the wood. And he would teach us. He would teach us that we need to take that piece of wood, and we need to plane it down where it'd be real smooth. We need to sand it down so it can be real smooth. Then we could take it and cut it in pieces and put it back together. We could put it back together without nails and without screws. Why? God give us a way to do that. God give us many ways to do certain things. But people today, they don't want anything like that. They don't want God to teach them nothing.
And I believe that the reason people won't come into church is because that they're afraid of the Christians that's here. I believe that they're afraid of the people because of what the people and the way the people is going to look at them. You know, if we don't watch ourselves and if we're not careful, we can let our expression hurt somebody else. And the way that we looked at them, but we should never look down on anyone. Never should look down on anyone. Because if it wasn't for the Lord, I would not have what I have. And if we just give the other people a chance, just give them a chance to come and experience some things that we have had an opportunity to experience, then they can have the same thing. You know, I've always heard this, that at a funeral, whether it's held at the church or whether it's held at the funeral home or just held somewhere else, it does not mean because they had so much more to offer individuals, but they didn't want to offer it to them. They had the means to where they could help so many people. But they didn't help people. But you know something? I've never seen one automobile that's in the possession that has a U-Haul behind it. I've never seen that. And you won't see it either. You know, just like Elvis Presley, you all know him, when he passed away, when he died, and everything, he was buried in his pink Cadillac convertible. That's what he was buried in. They made a special vault for that automobile. And they set him up in the automobile, right behind the steering wheel. And they covered the grave and covered the vault up. See, he thought he was taking everything with him. He thought he was going to take his pride and joy, which was that automobile. Hey, right now, you go down and you can dig up that vault. Yeah. And you can look at his body and there won't be nobody. It will be there just ashes or dust and everything and the bones. But his automobile will be just like it was probably the day they put it in there. Why? Because it did not corrode. It did not rust. It did not get wet the way it would rust. See, that's what he wanted. It's nothing here on this earth that is worth me dying over. It's not nothing worth for me just to give my life up and say, Lord, I can't do it no more because I got to have this and got to have that. You know, Lord, I need a car. I need an automobile.
because my automobile's got 160,000 miles on it, and any engine light stays on it all the time. I don't know if it's going to stop or what. I don't need a new car. That new automobile that I go up, that I will go and probably go up to Danville Chrysler or Barcas or wherever and buy that new truck or new car or whatever, or new Lincoln or new Mercedes, it's not going to get me to the next house for me to witness to someone no quicker than that automobile wheel right now. He didn't ask me to go and purchase a new car just because I'm a pastor. I don't know if y'all seen it or not, but here the other week, they come out on the news and was telling some of it, but they didn't tell all of it. But then they had someone else that had a complete hour program on this man and his ministry. And I'm not afraid to call his name. It's Joel Osteen. He's 46 or 47 years old. And he has over 14,000 people in attendance every Sunday. But yet, where does that money go to take it in? It's going to him. He has got $38.6 million in cash in his home. Then plus he's got bonds, and he's driving a Rolls Royce. He was driving a Mercedes before, but now he's driving a Rolls Royce that was handmade. Now, anybody can argue me down if they want to, but God's not in that. God's not in it when he has got people and thou that don't have anything. When they had the, was it last year when they had the flood down in Texas, where it's close to where his church is at, and he come out and he said on national TV that the money that they was going to take up for the following service, that they was going to donate, he was going to donate all of that money to the flood, for the flood release program. That where the people did not have anything, they didn't have nothing to go back to. They didn't have no home. It was washed away. They didn't have no pictures. It was washed away. They didn't have no clothes. The only clothes they had was the clothes on the back. And he said that he was going to take that money and he was going to go to that and give it to the organization down there where they could take the money and spend it for them. And then when it all comes said and done, when everything was over with, that's when all of it come about. Him and his fortune
They said, with his fortune and with that money that he promised that he was going to give to that organization for the flood relief people, to where they could be able to have some money to get back on their feet. They got to investigate him. And they come up and said that he did not donate but 5% of what he took in. You know, some, you can lie to people all you want to, but you can never lie to God and get by with it. And I'm not saying the man's not saved. But all indication with my own heart and what I read in the Bible is that he's not saved. Because I don't believe you can treat people that way. Me and my wife, we were discussing the other day. She was talking about, well, I think it was her and my daughter was talking about it, talking about when her ship comes in. Now, I know all y'all know about the ship. When a ship comes in, you know, we'll have some money and all of that. And she said this, when my ship comes in, the only thing that I would love to do is just be able to pay my bills off and then give to the church. I don't want no new home. She says, because I'm not able to take care of the one I got now. And I'll tell you, I mean, if somebody this week come up to me and told me that I inherited $10 million, $7 million would go right here in his church. $7 million. Because I think I could live on $3 million. I mean, you know. I mean, if I can't, I ain't got no business with it. But I would put it here in this church. Why would I put it here in this church? Because I know what this church stands for. I know what you stand for. And I know that would not be no arguing about with us having that money to take on more missionaries and do some other things. Not go out here and build another brand new church. No, we don't need a brand new building. Only thing we need to do right now, we need to do what we can to try to build up this one. This one right here, I mean, it can be a couple, 2 or 3 years before we fill this up, if we do it the right way. But no, help other people. Help other people that need help. If we're not willing to help the ones that's right here within us, if we're not here to help one another, then what are we here for? What are we here for? I always thought this, especially with all the money that the government wastes and everything they send overseas, they go over that and all these bombs and everything goes over there and ruin the cities over there in the town and blow up all them buildings and everything. And then the United States will send people, send soldiers, send workers over there, and send millions and millions and millions of money, dollars over there to go back and to build what they had back up. But then build it
and they will be in better shape after we get through with them than they was before. Just like Japan. We went away and we built back Japan. Look what we're doing. Look at the buildings they got over there. We just need to just start focusing on this little church. This little church. Yes, small, we're a small church. We've got a few people. But did you realize, if we just think, if we would just take a moment just to think about it, we that are here, is 7 of us. We that are here, each one of us, would go and surrender our life, our body and our soul to the Lord and say, Lord, use me. Help us to build the church back. Help us to get more people in. Help us to be a soul winning station for people. If we would just do our part, then I will say to you that by the end of this year, or probably before, that we'd have every pew full. But we have got to have our mind set on that. We got to have the right mindset on doing that. And I'll tell you, you talking about encouragement, that will encourage you, that will encourage me, that will encourage the people that rise up and down the road. Don't you think that it would encourage you if you just come in here to one Sunday and then you start seeing a visitor come in. Then the next Sunday night, that night, you see another visitor come in. Then within a month, you'll see 10 or 15 people that's here. Then by the end of the year, the church, 3/4 full. Wouldn't that encourage you? Wouldn't that make you happy? Wouldn't that make you want to shout for glory? I'll tell you one thing. If we would just do that, if we would just do that with my bad legs, with my bad legs and this cane right here, you'd see me run down them steps. And you see me out there making laps around in the parking lot. Why? Because God will be done touched me in a way that only He can touch. Now, if you want to see me do that, if you want to see me get out here and run one more time, hallelujah, then let's get on the ball and get the people in here. Hallelujah. I don't even remember this. But somebody told me, and I think it was James Albert told me, says, we was down there and we had a revival. You had a revival down there at the church and everything. And the next thing I knew, you done got up. You done started running. You run to the front door and you run down the steps and you run around like that in the driveway and everything. And you come on back in and run. I said, well, did I do that? He said, yeah. I said, well, I don't remember it. I don't remember it, but he said, I sure done it. But hey, to me, That was fun to me. That was when I was happy. That was when I was in the Spirit. That's when the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. The Holy Spirit got a hold of these legs and just took these legs off of you. And I know that He can do it again. I know that I can get down from up here and get down right there. And if the Holy Spirit's in it, the Holy Spirit would take these legs and He would put it on a, I don't know what you call them, but these little flat boards they got out here, and they got a motor on them and everything, and it pushes air up, and they come up off the ground just a little bit and run around. I believe the Holy Spirit will grab a hold of these legs, and He will just put some springs under these legs, and He would raise me up just a little bit off of the ground. And I start running. I start running, and here Shelby is over there. I mean, her heart, it's done got the confound. I mean, she's talking about the AFib. I mean, her heart has done started beating. You can go up there and you look at her and say, Shelby, you need to just sit down because your heart's going to beat out from you.
It'll be an AFib, that's for sure.
But I'll tell you one thing. One thing about it, though. Being AFib, praise God. Woo-wee. I'd be glory bound. Oh, me. Hallelujah. Father, thank You, Lord Jesus, for this evening. And Father, thank You, Lord, for the message. Thank You for Thy Spirit, oh Lord. And thank You for these people that are here tonight. These individuals that are here are Your choice people. These are a special group of people that love You so much that they are willing to do what they can. And Father, we're just asking, Lord, that as we pray, and as You say over there in the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 10, in the middle part of that verse, has three words there. Prove me. Prove me, Lord. Lord, allow me to put You to the test. That's the only thing that You want from us, for us to put You to the test, that You'll do what You have promised us, and You will do what we have asked You to do. Lord, I pray for each one of them this week, as some of them goes on the job. I pray, Father, that You'll give them the rest that they need. Father, touch the bodies. Give them the strength that they're going to need this week. And Father, just bless them. And bless the others. Bless us all, we pray, Lord. And for each one of the families that is represented here, but the families are also represented and they're not here. Lord, my prayer is that You would just go to them and speak to them. Speak to them with only Your love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.